The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome music guest American Overdose and Candlelight Red, talking music, touring, playing cuts off their albums. It's a Revelator double feature. Welcome to Revelator. My name is Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me as always. And hopefully everybody had a nice Labor Day weekend, a nice extended weekend. And if you did have to work, well, I'm sorry. You know, it kind of defeats the purpose of having Labor Day, working on Labor Day, right? But for those who didn't get to enjoy the long weekend, hopefully you enjoyed the nice weather, the sunshine. Maybe did some swimming, cooking out, drank some beers, do whatever you did, and didn't have to work and got to spend time with family and friends. I tell you what, we've got a big time double feature this evening. American Overdose, really kick ass band from Portland, Oregon, is going to stop by, and also Candlelight Red. Jeremy from Candlelight Red will be joining us, talking about, you know, obviously touring with Sick Puppies and Candlebox, talking about their new album and working with the guys from Seven Dust on their album as well. Let's go ahead and get this Revelator going. It's Feel the Same by Candlelight Red here on Revelator.
You're trying.
That is Candlelight Red here on Revelator with their brand new single, Feel the Same. And I'm joined now by Jeremy from the band Candlelight Red. Hey, man, what's going on? How you doing?
Doing great, man. Thank you guys for having us on.
We appreciate you taking the time out. Now, I know you guys are on the road and, you know, obviously doing a lot of shows. But before we get into that, I want to talk to you about the single we just heard, Feel the Same. Now, musically, I know you guys went through a change at drums and I believe a change at bass as well at one point. Talk to me about, you know, how that change has affected the band musically. And also, this particular single is musically a lot different than maybe what people thought they would hear from you guys.
You know, actually, our bass player Jamie has been with us since very, very soon after we completed our first album back in 2010, The Wreckage. Because original bass player and drummer that were on that album on our very first album didn't want to tour. And we've had some drummer changes. Brian Dugan's been with us for a long time and he had some family commitments. So we have Tanner Wayne from Chiodos is out touring with us now. But on the record, we went in and Morgan Rose produced the album and actually played drums on the song that you listen to that feel the same on a lot of the tracks. And Feel the Same, I would say, is a departure for us kind of accidentally. We had a kind of a mellower guitar riff, so we're thinking, you know, maybe we'll have a chilled out song that's more Deftones-y or something. But when Ryan went and wrote lyrics to that chord progression, we found it almost had like this different feel to it. It's almost like R&B kind of vocal. So it is very much a departure for us musically. It's a little bit mellower. And it's also, if you listen on the album, it's probably the only song on the record that has kind of an upbeat feel to it. All the other songs have kind of more of a somber aspect to them. They're more of, you know, don't want to say they're really dark, but the Feel the Same is definitely something that's kind of like the light at the end of the tunnel kind of track for us, you know.
No, I could definitely see that listening to the album, which is Reclamation. As you mentioned, Morgan Rose from Seven Dust, you know, obviously producing it. So, I mean, what is working with him, obviously a guy who's been in the industry a long time, well-respected. You know, everything I've ever heard about mm-hmm. these guys from Seven Dust, man, are, you know, top-notch, first class. I mean, what was it like working with them in the studio, and did he push you guys musically? Obviously, he was familiar with The Wreckage. I mean, going from that album to where you guys are now, you can hear the progression on this album. Did he have a lot to do with that, just kind of pushing you guys musically?
Yeah, I think he did. I think he was very, very good at getting the best out of the band and the best at getting our ideas honed and, you know, making all the transitions of everything go together very smoothly, very well. And, you know, he came up with a lot of ideas we might not have come up with our own. You know, sometimes we were working the chord progression and he's just like, hey, you know, if you play this note, no, not that one. You know, so he's got a great ear for music, and I feel like we were able to kind of hone our sound, you know, more with him in the studio with us.
Very cool, man. Well, the album is really good. You know, you guys have been out playing show after show after show. Now, you're finishing up a run that you've got with Candlebox. What's it been like playing with those guys every night, man?
It's been great. They're super nice, super cool, laid-back guys. The band is phenomenal. I don't know if anybody hasn't seen them since, you know, back in the heyday, but they still sound fantastic. And it's a little bit different because we have a band called Open Air Stereo that's going on before us, who's also on the tour, and they're kind of even lighter than Candlebox. So when we come out there, it's almost like, you know, Pantera has hit the stage or something. So it was, you know, we thought it would be kind of strange because we are quite a heavier band than Candlebox. But so far, the crowds have been really, really receptive to us, and people have dug just the variety of music they get to hear at the shows. So that's been great. And yeah, we're looking forward to going out and doing a bunch of dates with Sick Puppies after this, and we're really looking forward to that as well.
No, you know what? You mentioned, obviously, the diverse style between you guys and Candlebox. And I think that's cool, though. When you go to the show, you're like, man, I'm going to hear, you know, Candlebox, just, you know, kind of your traditional softer rock. But oh, they have some really hard rock tunes, too. But also, you guys have some heavy stuff. So it's good to go to a show and have that nice mix and not have it be at a big festival, you know. If you don't mind, I remember Candlebox. I saw them at the Odeon in Cleveland years ago, right? It was the last show. And on the tour, and he was like, man, he's like, you know what? He's like, I don't know why every time I come to Cleveland, I feel like it should be Jose Cuervo night. And, you know, and they were just partying. They were doing covers like of Aerosmith and Guns N' Roses and just completely just jammed out that place and closed it down, which, you know, so I'd imagine, you know, seeing those guys every night's got to be a treat. Sick Puppies, yeah, another great band.
They still do some covers in Soundcheck every once in a while. They actually, I came in one day and they actually played Stairway to Heaven. And, you know, like there's a lot of joke about like bands can't play Stairway to Heaven. They actually played it. And at the end, like Kevin nailed all the high notes and I was just like, damn. And he was kind of like, wow, that's really hard. But I'm like, wow, they got some jobs for sure.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And I'm glad you guys are out, you know, getting noticed. And, you know, those September shows you have coming up with Sick Puppies, that's going to be a good bill, man. You guys excited to get on that bill here in September?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think they're right in our wheelhouse. And I think it's kind of cool, like, since this song is more of a radio track, you know, per se. But for us, you know, I think it's cool because they have a lot of songs like that, too. And they have some heavy rocking songs. So I think it's going to be a great matchup.
Very cool. And now with playlists and set lists playing live, obviously, you have, you know, the two full albums to pick from. Is it a little bit harder this time around to get a playlist? Do you guys change it up every night?
We may be changing it up a little bit. We tend to, you know, when we go on a run, you know, every week or two, we try to keep it the same so it actually flows through like a show. And we have like three different guitar tunings, so there's a lot of guitar changes to work on. But it is a lot harder with this album because there's so many good songs to choose from. It's like, you know, well, shoot, we haven't tried this song yet. Maybe we should open with that one. So, if you saw us last month with Candlebox, it might be a little bit different with Sick Puppies, definitely.
Very cool, man. Now, you guys have played with all kinds of bands. Is there a band out there that you guys haven't played with that you'd like to play with?
I think the answer that we always give is probably Deftones, just because we're such big fans, you know. And I think that would be, given that we've been on some big tours. I mean, we were on tour with Uproar, you know, with Shinedown and Godsmack the other last year. I mean, it would still be, that would be an honor for us to share a stage with Deftones, I think.
You know, and I asked Elias from Nonpoint that question a couple weeks ago, and he said the exact same thing.
See, so, I mean, we're all going to have to just like have a lottery and maybe the winner.
We're just making a triple bill, man. You guys, Nonpoint, Deftones, and just hit the road, man.
Oh, man, that would be sick. I mean, we've toured Nonpoint before and they're fantastic. So yeah, that would be absolutely great.
Very cool, man. Now, a couple questions. We got another track we're going to check out tonight, which is Life as We Know. Now, before that, obviously playing these live shows, do you have any pre-show rituals or, you know, things you kind of get into before a show?
We usually crank up something like some Pantera or some Deftones, and everybody just kind of, you know, gets ready, stretches out, and just tries to get their game face on. You know, it's like being in a locker room right before a big game. You know, it's like you want to go out there and just crush it, you know.
Awesome. Well, so, tell you what, man. I'll tell you what, man. Let's take a quick break. We'll jam out this song, Life as We Know It. Is there anything we need to know about this song before we get it up tonight, man?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of our favorite tracks on there. It's definitely, I mean, if you take Life as We Know It, Requiem, and a couple others, and you look at the album artwork, it's kind of like that theme there. It's like almost like a dystopian future theme, but, you know, with a hopeful thing to it, you know. I think we actually kind of found like a little bit of a vibe that carries throughout the whole album when we wrote Life as We Know It, and I think it's one of our favorites.
Awesome. Well, here it is. This is Life as We Know It, Candlelight Red, here on Revelator.
Help in the darkness, cries of mass power.
Candlelight Red here on Revelator, Life as We Know It, hanging out with Jeremy from the band Candlelight Red. Now I got to ask, man, we were talking about being on tour. Do you recall the best prank that's been played on you guys, or even reverse of that, the best prank you guys have played on another band on the road?
I remember Saving Abel got us good. Like they went to our bus and caution taped everything while we were on stage. And also they did the whole, they pulled us away for shots. And then while we weren't looking right before we went up on stage, they covered everything in baby powder, silly string. I mean, the whole nine yards. They just, we've gotten that treatment several times, but I think they did it the worst. And that was great.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you guys are obviously enjoying your time on the road, man. I got to ask, you know, what got you into music? Do you remember your first concert?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably say my first concert, yeah, probably did get me into music and the idea of wanting to go out and do this. I think I was like 9 or 10 or something, and I saw one of the later incarnations of Sabbath with Dio singing. I don't remember who was playing drums, but it was fantastic, and I can just remember that, and I remember little bits and pieces of that, you know, and that made quite an impression on me. And from there on out, I was wanting to go to concerts wanted to learn guitar, and it just stemmed from there.
What's the nastiest mosh pit you've ever been in as a concert goer?
You know, actually, I remember back in the middle 90s, I was kind of getting into this when I was a little younger. I had like the longer hair and stuff, and I think later I had dreadlocks. Now I've shaved all off since then, but I was in the front row for Filter and White Zombie, or Rob Zombie. I don't remember which incarnation it was, but as soon as they started playing Hey Man, Nice Shot, it was like an arena show. I actually found out why it's not good to have long hair in a mosh pit. But at the end of the set, I ended up in the back. So, yeah, from there on out, I figured out it was better, you know, if you want to be on stage and have your fingers not be broken, it's better to not be in the pit and be on the stage.
No doubt, man. Pits nowadays, you know, I'm usually just hanging out by the bar having beers. I try to steer clear nowadays of that stuff, you know, but back in my younger days, you know, it's always good to get in there and mix it up a little bit. No, I gotta ask you, man, the band, you know, obviously the name Candlelight Red, do you recall any names you didn't pick when you guys got started that were on the table?
Funny, you know, we had this random list of names and we kept narrowing it down. It was down to 2 or 3, and that was the last one standing. And oddly, the other 2 or 3 contenders, I can't remember for the life of me. So, I mean, hopefully that means we picked the right choice. Although we're on tour with a band called Candlebox, and you know, not too long ago we were sharing a bus and being on tour with a band called Red Light King. So, you know, we didn't really think about that at the time, but a lot of bands with the name Red in it.
So, no, I think it's a cool name.
Helps us stand out.
No, it's definitely a cool name, and I think it definitely stands out. Now, obviously, you know, with touring and recording and all the things you guys got going on, man, and when you do get time, you know, to kind of take a break, and you know, when you're at home, and you know, what do you do in your free time? And you into movies, sports, you a video game guy?
Definitely into movies. You know, got a few TV shows I follow. But, you know, a lot of times you just sit around with acoustic guitar or go down to the beach or just, you know, a lot of times I'm working on, you know, just band stuff. You know, nowadays, you know, I mean, back in the days, you know, you got signed, you were like a rock star, you know, you toured around the country and played arenas and you didn't have to worry about anything, you know. But now I think it's, you know, a lot of times my downtime, I'll concentrate on social networking and the business aspect of everything from our end. And I spend a lot of time on that. And I think that's something people aren't aware of, is most of the bands nowadays doing it do spend a lot of time doing what most people would think of as actual work. So it kind of goes against that whole adage of people say, oh, you know, to get your hair cut and get out of this band thing and go get a real job. And it's like, man, if you only knew how hard everyone worked to pull this off, you know, they probably would be quite staggered over it, you know.
Well, I think you're spot on, man. I'd say almost every single band we've ever talked with basically does a lot of the social networking and, you know, the marketing side of it themselves, and it carries their own weight. And it's impressive, man. You guys are out on the road, you know, X amount of number of days playing X amount of number of shows. You know, you may not get a shower every night. You're out there rolling in the dirt, you know, putting the work in, playing shows. But, you know, when you're not doing that, you're still kind of doing that and just in a different aspect, you know. So, you know, hats off to you guys, man.
Yes.
Now, I want to talk about the video for Demons, which is a cool video. I got to ask, man, did you guys get a chance to meet the woman in the video? Did you guys know her at all?
Yeah, actually, she was kind of like a local actress. You know, we rented a studio in Brooklyn for that day. The camera crew already had, you know, some of the people that were working, like the lighting guys, and there was a pirate girl that was working with another project. So we came in for the day, and, you know, it just happens like, well, we have this pirate girl at our disposal, you know, why not do? So we did a lot with fire. We had a lot of people ask us if that was, you know, CGI. And it's like, no, that was real fire. Like, we were actually pretty nervous and pretty scared.
Very cool. It's a cool video, man. You guys enjoy making videos? You guys have made some pretty cool videos. I imagine you guys, you know, enjoy that that aspect of it, right?
It is fun, but it's intense. You know, like you, I mean, to make it look good on camera, I mean, you got almost got rocked twice as hard as you would during a show, and not where, I mean, you have, of course, don't have to worry about messing up, you know, because you're shooting a video. It's so bad, especially if, like, I know the one, I think it was the She's Got the Look one, I think it was a concrete floor, and just, well, I went home, and I couldn't really walk for, like, a day. That was so, so rough, you know, but it's a lot of fun at the same time. I mean, you really sweat and get to put on a really good performance, and it's cool to see them just take it from the concept part to actually finishing the whole thing and see what it comes out looking like.
Now, do you guys get a pretty good say as far as the concept of the video itself? You guys, like, you know,
yeah,
sit down,
I mean,
with like,
we
a director
had
and
submit concepts, and we were just like, you know, we sat down with the label and they said, which ones you like, which, you know, and we, you know, we came up with one that we agreed we kind of liked, and went with that. That's kind of how we've done it so far.
Very, very cool, man. Well, Jeremy, I appreciate you taking the time tonight, man. If people were interested in finding out more about what you guys are up to and upcoming shows with Candlebox and Sick Puppies, how can they do so, man?
Easiest way is, of course, on the web. Just Google Candlelight Red, and pretty much all our pages are like facebook.com/candlelightred. Same with Twitter, YouTube, all that. And we're on Bands in Town. Always have our calendar updated there. And you can also find us on iTunes and Amazon.com as well if they want to check out some music. Got a plenty of shameless plug there.
Hey, not a problem at all, man. Well, hey, I appreciate you taking the time out, man. And we close out tonight with Demons by Candlelight Red.
Smoking on deck.
That is Demons here on Revelator by Candlelight Red off their album Reclamation. For more information about Candlelight Red, head on over to omnes.tv. That's omnes.tv. Click on episode number 26. And our double feature is just only halfway through. We have American Overdose joining us in just a moment. But first, let's Trance Dance Motion. This is off their album that came out in 2012. It's American Overdose here on Revelator. That is American Overdose here on Revelator, and I'm joined now by the guys from the band. Now, guys, how the heck are you, man? I know you guys just got done doing a tour and stuff. I appreciate you taking the time out, being on the Revelator show tonight. What's going on with you guys, man?
Chilling out. Just hanging out, man. Doing the 9-to-5 right now, taking a little break from after doing the tour, but we're very excited to see what's going to be happening here shortly as soon as we get back into it. We're planning on recording some new music. We have a 5-song EP that we're supposed to be putting out for a new label. Planning on another tour in the spring of next year. So we're going to try to keep things busy and then hopefully make a music video before the end of the year.
Awesome. Very cool, man. Now, I knew you guys did a music video for Medicaid, which I believe we're going to hear later tonight as well. What was that like making the first video? Was that the first video you guys have actually made?
Yeah, that was actually the second video we've made. And it was a grand time.
It was a blast.
Yeah, man, it looked like a fun venue to be a part of, man. You guys look like you're having some good times doing the video. Obviously, having a good time on tour, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I'm curious, you know, how you guys came up with the name American Overdose. You know, is it more of just something you guys kind of felt that it fit with the American culture the way things are today?
Kind of, yeah, like the mentality of other people that, you know, around the world, how they view Americans and the culture that we have out here. Anything we do, we overdo. I mean, just for inspiration, the apartments I lived at, this guy, he had this big-ass, badass Hummer. And I'm like, you live in an apartment complex and you have, you know, this $50,000, $60,000 car. Why not invest that in a house or something? Right. Just over-the-top stuff that we do out here that we, you know, just do and don't even think about it. Anything we do has to be bigger, better, and, you know, the best of all. The name kind of influenced where we were going to go with the direction of the image and the lyric content. And it was a way to open up, you know, so that we weren't categorized in one direction or the other of a certain what we were going to do with, like, the lyrics. And, you know, the way we play it off is we're not siding one side or the other. We're just kind of putting it in your face. You decide if the way we're announcing it or showing it off is negative or positive.
Right. Well, I think that's indicative of our culture in general. And even it comes down to little things, too, like going out to restaurants and stuff. The server always comes up to you and goes, hey, did you save any room for dessert? Did you not quite stuff your face enough with enough crap at this place where you need to have dessert, too?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Consume, 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 consume.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys are right on point with a lot of those things. I think a lot of people can relate to that, too, at least, you know, a certain percentage of the Americans in the country. I have to ask, and I ask a lot of bands this, is there any band names you guys recall that didn't make the cut at all?
Not that I can think of, because I was writing down just, like, anything I can think of, just, like, the stupidest stuff. But a lot of that stupid stuff when I was coming up with the names didn't even consider it. I was just trying to get my mind out there and just see what clicked and what didn't sound cheesy. There was nothing that was actually considered. Once I saw that, I felt like it was right. And then an old band member was like, well, let's take that name and then just, you know, switch the letters around a little bit and just play with it. So we did that, and that's how we got the spelling of it, the A-M-E-R-A-K-I-N, rather than the proper way of spelling it.
No, I think you guys are right on point there. It's a cool name, and I think it's obviously recognizable as well. Obviously, the fan base is growing. Obviously, you know, people are taking notice of what you guys are doing musically, which kind of leads me into your influences. I think a lot of people, you know, from hearing your music can kind of pick up, you know, some of your influences, Static X being one of them, and obviously a lot of others as well. Is there any bands or artists out there that influenced you musically that maybe people aren't aware of?
All of us are into something different, like... Recently, we were introduced to a band called Die Antwoord,
yep.
And that is a huge, like, we were listening to that on the tour a lot, on the bus, or the van, and you would never listen to them and guess, like, oh, American Overdose listens to them, yeah. Or, like, some of Lady Gaga's stuff, or The Human here, he likes...
Dead Can't Dance.
Dead Can't Dance.
like European chick metal.
Yeah.
Freeman likes a lot of Pink Floyd. I wouldn't say we have too much of an obvious influence in there, but there is. I mean, with the keyboards and whatnot. But we listen to a wide variety of music, and I think the name fit perfectly for that. Where we're not like, oh, they're a metal band. If you heard, you know, obviously like a band like Slayer, you're going to think instantly metal. But I think American Overdose doesn't categorize us to where if we do something, you know, that's maybe a little bit more mainstream, or we do something really heavy, people are going to instantly think they're going to want to check it out first.
Right on. Now, a band comes to mind. I grew up outside of Cleveland originally. A band that came to mind when I first heard of you guys was the band Mushroom Head. I don't know if you guys are fans of those guys at all. Is that a band that you guys have, I wouldn't say necessarily patterned after, but obviously, you know, as far as influences with the keyboards and the type of drums you guys play on some of the songs, is that a band that you guys have kind of used as an influence at all?
I wouldn't say influence, no. Maybe with, you know, influenced by the fact that they put on a show. But as far as musical-wise, the keyboards, I wouldn't say sound anything like theirs. Ours have more of a dancey, trancey, techno kind of vibe. Same with the beats. The beats are kind of like dancey type of beats versus theirs that are more like pounding, metal-ish. We have played with Mushroomhead a couple of times. We did last year. So we're familiar with them, but I wouldn't say that they would be an influence as far as music-wise.
The keyboards for us are a lot more involved, I would say.
Very driving.
Yeah, whereas Mushroomhead, the keyboards are an accent. With us, the keyboards are, you know, essentially equivalent to guitar. So it's, if there had to be any influence from the keyboards, like, being drawn, it'd probably be something closer to Nine Inch Nails, but we don't even have
Rammstein. Maybe even
The keyboards are still really heavily in the background with Rammstein. So honestly, my influence is, I'm a classical musician, so that's really a lot of where the keyboard stuff comes from, is my classical background.
But performance wise yes, Mushroomhead puts on a show, and we enjoy putting on a show and actually giving the people that come pay their money something that's worth the money they're paying, not just standing there, you know, playing scales and chords. We actually put on a show, and that has influenced us via their technique.
Awesome. Well, you know, speaking of playing live shows, you guys just kind of finished up a West Coast, kind of a mini tour. What was that like? How did that go play out for you guys, man?
Seven assholes in a van, and it was hot, and there was no AC, but it was beautiful.
We hit up the Midwest for the most part. We hit LA, and then from there, that's where we went. You know, out east, hit the Midwest, and it was crazy, man. It was a lot of, I tell everybody, because everyone at work asks me, they're like, how was it? I'm like, well, the average of 3 hours a night of sleep, no AC in the van, seven dudes crammed up, the van smells like ass, poor eating conditions, poor sleeping conditions, a lot of drinking.
Yeah, plenty of Coors Light.
And, you know, some shows were good, some shows weren't so good, so we had to deal with that, and it was fun. It was a good learning experience for us as far as what we plan on doing next time. I would say overall, though, it was a blast. It's a summer, or a month I won't forget.
We did learn a lot about Midwest promoters, though, because we were actually on a show in Michigan with Head PE and Mushroomhead, and who else was there? Taproot,
Blue Felix,
Ventana, I think they're called Ventana,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And yeah, we just learned a lot about Midwest promoters.
You know, I know we don't like to put people on blast, but I think for other musicians' sakes, we should probably put these two on blast.
Avoid the name Koontz and Pitcock.
It's funny. P-I-T-O-C-K. Avoid those two promoters.
And Mushroomhead and Head PE and Tap. They'll vouch the same for thing. That. Yeah.
Yeah. The promoter instantly, everyone, as soon as we mentioned it, that he fucked over all the bands, including us. We drove, you know, 1,300 miles. 2,100 miles for that show. We built the tour around it so it would happen. But as soon as we mentioned it on Facebook, instantly people were like, oh, that guy put it on? Yeah, that guy's known from here. He's been kicked out of the state or that state for screwing over bands. And they already have shirts, you know, and a website dedicated to this promoter to not book with him or do anything, any business.
Wow. Yeah.
So we learned, you know, contracts.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, obviously a hard lesson to learn being on the road, and especially being that far away from home as well. Now, I have to ask you, obviously, you know, playing these shows, being out, what's the most interesting thing you've seen in the crowd playing these shows this last time around?
Oh, that's a hard one. We see a lot of crazy stuff. What's a good one?
There's a lot of
most of the time it's us, really.
Yeah,
we do some crazy shit to ourselves.
Yeah,
I mean, there was that guy who was getting a lap dance from his girl, like that from that other band at the Vegas show.
A lot of the times it's hard to see.
Oh,
what's
yeah,
going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot
yeah,
of times
yeah.
I'm so involved, me personally. I don't know about the rest of the guys, but me personally, when I'm out there, when I'm like in my zone, it's so hard to like pay attention to what exactly the crowd is doing. Because I'm in my zone of just, you know, doing, freaking out and whatnot. But we've seen a lot of crazy shit.
Right.
Lots and lots and lots of crazy shit. Nothing really specifically comes to mind.
It's usually after the show or before the show where weird shit is happening.
We did see the face of a guy who had Down syndrome.
Did we really?
Oh, yeah, we did do that. Yeah
in Southern. He asked us to do it, and like he apparently this dude is a regular at a bar, so his friends said that he really wanted us to do it, and he said he really wanted us to do it.
I guess seeing Unlucky on the floor was pretty awkward.
Well, yeah.
that's him.
We have a story to segue to something that you know you're going to want to talk about later, Unlucky. But that story is something that we actually saw in the crowd that.
Was
quite funny and
awkward. All right, well, I tell you what, let's get into that right now. We'll segue. Unlucky Eddie, obviously not with us tonight, and I wanted to ask him why he was unlucky, so I'll let you guys describe that for us.
Okay.
I think he kind of made the name, and this is just my point of view, I think he made the name kind of like a mockery, you know, because, you know, if that put bad luck on your way, you'll get good luck, and I think the name cursed him on the tour because we were in Indiana playing a show with Primer 55, and they had just got done playing. We were up next. We had been drinking out in the parking lot with them and some other fans that were out there. Got pretty intoxicated. We got on stage. We're playing. And I was having too much fun where I was pretty inebriated. And I ended up puking on the stage. And instead of puking on the stage, I puked out towards the floor. And the stage was about, what, 3 feet? 3 feet high?
It was like 2.5 feet.
Two and a half feet. Roughly around there. And Unlucky's rocking out, and that guy, he moves a lot, so, you know, he doesn't really pay attention to where he's stomping around and shit. He just, you know, making circles and jumping up and down and, you know, swinging his bass. He jumped off the stage and
into
my puke and fell down on the ground on his back and still playing, didn't stop playing. His feet are up in there.
Nice.
I didn't see him fall, but I guess the drummer, Rick, saw him fall, I think. Did you see him fall?
No, I didn't see him until he was on the ground, yeah.
Human saw him fall, and I turned around. By the time I turned around, I was like, I saw him on the ground. I'm like, fuck, this guy's really getting into it. He's still playing the bass and shit. I thought nothing of it. And, you know, I thought, I was like, whoa, this guy, what the hell's he doing on the ground?
You mean, what the hell's he doing in your puke?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see the puke where it landed, so I didn't know that it was there. But, yeah, he ended up the whole tour...
Busted
his tailbone and bitching every time he'd get up, he'd curse my name. It was then we got, you know, when we slept in the van and shit, it wasn't fun for him because
he smelled like, yeah, he's got puke on him. Yeah, that sucks. But well, thus Unlucky Eddie there, you know, falls down. Not only does he fall, he also falls in your puke. So
right.
So he's thinking about changing his name to what was the name he came up with?
Win the lottery.
Never
had bad days.
Never had bad days.
Lucky.
Never slipping Cody's puke.
Never slipping Cody's puke, yeah.
Some fucking long ass name. And yeah, I think he originally made the name, that's my perspective of it, to, like, you know, give it, cursing himself to bring good luck. And I think it bit him in the ass on the tour.
Bit him in the ass.
Now, I got to ask, you know, obviously you guys do the face paint and the makeup and stuff. Is that something you guys started off with, or was it something you came up with later that you guys wanted to do? And what's the symbolism for you guys personally behind it?
It was something that was already planned ahead of time when, like, before even the music came around. We wanted to bring a visual to the live shows. And, you know, we messed around with masks a little bit, didn't find anything that we really liked. And of course, we're getting categorized with Gwar and Slipknot and all that. And, you know, when you do the face paint thing, there's a million people you can reference. I can do the same thing about metal bands that have long hair. I can compare all of them. You know, if you like to do it, you like to do it. As long as you're not blatantly copying someone, I don't see anything wrong with that. I would say for me specifically, the black and the white makeup, I wanted to take a negative and a positive type of, you know, opposites, apply them to my face, and I kind of do that with my outfit a little bit. Recently, I started wearing a red shirt, kind of like a dictator type of mode reference. But that's my makeup. Me, I like to have, because I'm an extremist in one way or the other, outside of the band. You know, I'm either this crazy fucking out of control guy, or I'm reserved and quiet and professional. So I wanted to apply that to the makeup that I was using. So I used the black and white kind of thing.
And symbolically, you know, humans have used the face paint as a way to grab attention, to get a message across. It's been used by shamans and magicians and actors and all kinds of people throughout history. So it makes sense that we're trying to get America to take a look at itself. You know, just like Manson said, you got to slap them in the face and really make them pay attention, because coming at him nicely and saying nice things and, oh, you know, life is beautiful. People just take that in one ear and out the other. But if you scare them a little bit, intimidate them, remove yourself from that human element, we seem to be more interested in it. And so that also plays, you know, into it. We want you to pay attention.
You read into it. You do your research. You want to know usually what are these guys about? What's the message? And you know, what are they singing about?
No, I think that's definitely a good way to go about it. And I think there's a lot of bands. You know, you guys could attest to this too. And I come across tons of bands all the time, and where you know they're just kind of it's just the same old cookie cutter. Kind of thing, not to put anybody down, you know, you like what you like, I guess, but at the same time, you know, maybe people aren't pushing themselves, you know, and people don't pay attention or notice as much, you know. It's like, you wish you could just kind of go out and just shake somebody and be like, hey, wake the fuck up, you know. And sometimes, you know, even just doing that, some people are just in their own little bubble, in their own little world, and, you know, everything is just rosy when they wake up in the morning. You know, they never have to stop and look and say, oh, shit, man, the rent's due. You know, I can't smell this rose, you know?
I feel like that every day. I'm a what you would call a conspiracy theorist, and I feel like a lot of motherfuckers are sleeping and not realizing what's going on around them. And then also, you know, the place that I work at, I have to deal with a lot of people that, you know, don't pay their bills and shit like that. So I get to take all that out in my writing and whatnot that I you in this band. It's great.
Yep.
Awesome.
They're not awake, that's for sure. And we're trying to wake them up, have them open their mind to see what's inside.
Maybe shock therapy is the way to go. You know, I mean, it only sounds scary, but I hear it features colored pictures of a bar and stuff. So maybe that works, you know?
Yeah. It's good afterwards, too.
Yeah, right, yeah. But what are you guys' long-term goals? So you had the album come out here in spring of 2012. Are you guys working on a follow-up for, you know, the back end of this year or end of the new year?
We are planning. We have been doing pre-production. We have about 21 rough tracks that we've been messing with. A couple of them already have vocals or just doing pre-production for us to take to our new record label that we're going to be working with here. We won a $15,000 recording contract with them, and we're going to put out a 5 or 6 song EP with them. We're working on the pre-productions. They're going to select the best, you know, 4 or 5 songs, 6 songs that they like, and put that out. Hopefully, I don't want to throw any dates out there, but me personally, I'd like to have it out, you know, early spring. If possible, if doable, that's the goal. But definitely put that out there and do a tour, and then still be working on the other tracks that don't get selected, and then put them out ourselves, and maybe do some remixes. Goals for this year definitely will be doing a music video and getting more of those tracks out there that we can use as rough demos to give people an idea of what's new, even if it's just a pre-production version of it. But I don't know about you guys. What do you guys see?
Yeah, I agree with Cody. Just getting music out there. I mean, I don't think we have a plan to put out another full length, because it seems like the industry really is dictating singles. You know, people are buying singles or 3 songs at a time through their iTunes or whatever their aggregator is. Full lengths aren't such a popular thing until you have an album full of songs that people want to hear, you know. So we're working on putting out an EP, getting a video, you know. YouTube is way more popular than anything else, so having video out there for people to look at is really important. So we want to definitely get a new video out by the end of the year.
Very cool. Well, good to see you guys are, you know, for the most part, doing it really on your own, man, and, you know, going out there, playing shows, getting out there and getting dirty and doing it, man. That's what it's all about, and I think the music industry is on this weird tilt right now, and it's bands like you guys and other bands we've had on the show that are going to push it the other direction, and we're happy to be standing right in the middle of it and helping you guys, you know, do whatever we can to get the word out, you know. But, hey, man, if people are interested in American Overdose and want to find out more what you guys are up to and what, you know, what the future plans are, how can they get a hold of you guys, man?
Facebook.com/AmericanOverdose. You can find us on Twitter @American_OD. ReverbNation.com/AmericanOverdose. YouTube.com/AmericanOverdose1. Our album is available, and some of I think we're gonna have T-shirts up here shortly and hoodies at AmericanOverdose.bandcamp. Is it .com?
Yeah.
.com.
Make sure to spell American real quick. So
AmericanOverdose. And let me just say that again, that, yeah, you're right. We have done everything ourselves. We have not had help from anybody, not any management, not any booking agents, nothing. It's all been on our own resources we've made. The record label deal that we just got, we'll see what they can do for us. And but so far, the last 3 years have been clearly all of our own hard work that we've done, and utilizing this, the sources that we've gained from, you know, putting on good shows and making friends from being loyal and bringing a show and, you know, being that band that works really fucking hard for what we're getting.
Yeah, and for any of you up-and-coming bands, professionalism is the key. You have to be professional. It is a business. You must be professional. It will take you much further than money will.
Right on. Well said, man. Well, hey, guys, I appreciate you taking the time out, and best of luck to you, and keep in touch, and if you're ever in the Nashville area, look me up, man.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for the interview, man.
Next to mine.
dead girl on the dance floor. She's got moves like Jagger, maybe. I don't know. That is American Overdose here on Revelator. Thanks to those guys for stopping by. Also, again, thanks to Candle at Red and for donating their time. Best of luck to all the bands while they're out on tour and doing their thing. For more information about American Overdose or Candlelight Red, head on over to omnes.tv. That's omnes.tv. Also, like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. You can find me, Ryan, your host, Ryan_unsigned on Twitter. Check me out. I'm always tweeting all kinds of interesting things. Some funny, some not so funny. So that's just kind of how it goes. And Mike, wonderful job as always. Big time show next week as well. A lot of great guests coming up for September into October. So definitely keep it locked right here on Revelator. Hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 26, Exposed and Overdosed on Candlelight. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.